dress of this individual was a mixture of the coarsest vestments of a husbandman with the leathern garments that fashion as well as use had in some degree rendered necessary to one engaged in his present pursuits. There was, however, a singular and wild display of prodigal and ill-judged ornaments blended with his motley attire. In place of the usual deerskin belt, he wore around his body a tarnished silken sash of the most gaudy colors. The buckhorn haft of his knife was profusely decorated with plates of silver. The marten's fur of his cap was of a fineness and shadowing that a queen might covet. The buttons of his rude and soiled blanket coat were of the glittering coinage of Mexico. The stock of his rifle was of beautiful mahogany, riveted and banded with the same precious metal, and the trinkets of no less than 3 worthless watches dangled from different parts of his person. In addition to the pack and the rifle which were slung at his back, together with the well-filled and carefully guarded pouch and horn, he had carelessly cast a keen and bright wood axe across his shoulder, sustaining the weight of the whole with as much apparent ease as if he moved unfettered in limb and free from encumbrance. A short distance in the rear of this man came a group of youths very similarly attired and bearing sufficient resemblance to each other and to their leader to distinguish them as the children of one family. Though the youngest of their number could not much have passed the period that, in the nicer judgment of the law, is called the age of discretion, he had proved himself so far worthy of his progenitors as to have reared already his aspiring person to the standard height of his race. There were one or two others, of different mold, whose descriptions must, however, be referred to the regular course of the narrative. Of the females, there were but 2 who had arrived at womanhood, though several white-headed, olive-skinned faces were peering out of the foremost wagon of the train, with eyes of lively curiosity and characteristic animation. The elder of the 2 adults was the sallow and wrinkled mother of most of the party, and the younger was a sprightly, active girl of 18 who in figure, dress, and mien seemed to belong to a station in society several gradations above that of any one of her visible associates. The second vehicle was covered with a top of cloth so tightly drawn as to conceal its contents with the nicest care. The remaining wagons were loaded with such rude furniture and other personal effects as might be supposed to belong to one, ready at any moment to change his abode, without reference to season or distance. Perhaps there was little in this train, or in the appearance of its proprietors, that is not daily to be encountered on the highways of this changeable and moving country. But the solitary and peculiar scenery in which it was so unexpectedly exhibited gave to the party a marked character of wildness and adventure. In the little valleys, which, in the regular formation of the land, occurred at every mile of their progress, the view was bounded, on 2 of the sides, by the gradual and low elevations, which gave name to the description of prairie we have mentioned, while on the others, the meager prospect ran off in long, narrow, barren perspectives, but slightly relieved by a pitiful show of course, though somewhat luxuriant vegetation. From the summits of the swells, the eye became fatigued with the sameness and chilling dreariness of the landscape. The earth was not unlike the ocean when its restless waters are heaving heavily after the agitation and fury of the tempest have begun to lessen. There was the same waving and regular surface, the same absence of foreign objects, and the same boundless extent to the view. Indeed, so very striking was the resemblance between the water and the land that, however much the geologist might sneer at so simple a theory, it would have been difficult for a poet not to have felt that the formation of the one had been produced by the subsiding dominion of the other. Here and there a tall tree rose out of the bottoms, stretching its naked branches abroad, like some solitary vessel, and, to strengthen the delusion, far in the distance, appeared 2 or 3 rounded thickets, looming in the misty horizon like islands resting on the waters. It is unnecessary to warn the practiced reader that the sameness of the surface and the low stands of the spectators exaggerated the distances, but as swell appeared after swell and island succeeded island, there was a disheartening assurance that long and seemingly interminable tracts of territory must be passed before the wishes of the humblest agriculturist could be realized. Still, the leader of the emigrants steadily pursued his way with no other